Well, in the middle of the Ramah and Sivav here in Siman Pei Zayin, this Ramah brings Arba Chumrais that he himself calls Chumras Ba'alma of Amekalai Hifsid. We learned two of the Chumras already, not to be Chayta Eish under a guy's pat, because there'll be Blias of Basa B'chalav in the pat, it's a Bishul Basa B'chalav. And that was the first chumrah. And the second chumrah is not to mix dishwater from washing of fleishig dishes and washing of milchig dishes, not to mix the two together. We learned when the hat. There is a mitzvah Yaakov learned of kavush, that it's even also out than this minig. You shouldn't mix together and store together the hat, even cold, dishwater for meat and dishwater for milk, because it'll be kaivish basa b'chalav. So anyway, that was the second chumrah. Right, in yeshiva, we always talked about being machmir. If somebody wants to pour out, sometimes you have too much water in the chaland. So you pour it into the garbage, you have to be very careful, because if there's some milchiks in the garbage, and you're going to pour irikliwishin into the garbage, you're going to cook basa b'chalav. So I don't think it ever happens, but theoretically, it's a something that could be. Anyway, the third chumrah, oy kasvu.
One second.
You
don't want it?
Even if you don't want it. It's still awesome. Davashen Miskavin is not awesome unless it's a psikresha. Right? Bechal Torah Kula is a p'tur of Davashen Miskavin. So it's not a psikresha, right? It's there's no problem.
Yeah.
That's the chumrah. The Michas Yaakov learns that that's this chumrah not to be kaivish basa b'chalav, even though it's not derech bishul and it's not a deraisa. But that's how the Michas Yaakov learns. The Shach learns that it's out as a hat, which is why I learned with you last week. They were talking here when it's hot. And either way. Six lines from the bottom of the Ramah. Oiv Kosfu. Da'akli sha'isim bay mayim lechfifa sarayish. Ein lishamish bay. Da'isim oisay me'efer sha'al hakira. It means the following. They had a keli in which they would make water for shampoo. And the way they made it is they took ashes from the oven, mixed it with the water in whatever way they were able to make it into a shampoo. They made it into a shampoo and it was hot. The kli is bailaya from the afer, from the blias of this afer, shalgabi akira. And that afer has drippings of milk and meat on it. And therefore the keli is bailaya basa b'chalav. So this chumrah is never to use that keli. Let's say someone wants a coffee. So he takes this keli, in which he always prepares shampoo, he rinses it out, and he's going to heat up water for a coffee. So this chumrah is a klisha isim b'mayim achfifa sarayish, that keli, in which water is made for this shampoo, ein l'shamish b'ha, you shouldn't use it for anything else, for any food. Da isin oisei me'efesh al akira. The language is a little misleading. Isin oisa doesn't mean they make the kli. It means that the kli is used for eifesh. They make the chafifas harayish. Ice and ice. They make the shampoo. Me'eifesh alakira. V'rigivosu l'sarav shom basa b'chalav. And since they didn't have separate milchik ovens and fleishik ovens, so they cooked milk. They cooked meat. And milk spritz and meat spritz. And therefore the eifer had both. And therefore we have the issue of blias of basa b'chalav. Okay, good. There are two kashas on this. So first of all, how are you allowed to use the shampoo itself? The shampoo itself has blias of basa b'chalav. So that Shach Chof says, hodolei mitzvah ma'itam alachfifa sarayish. So how are you allowed to use the shampoo? Shari nehena. You haven't got enough for basa b'chalav. The teretz is, mishum delichetz raishai, kima yishayne davar shal achila, lechashav anah. A blia of basar and milk in shampoo is not a hanah. Because the blia of milk doesn't make your hair get shampooed better. Your hanah is from the afer. It's incidental. The afer has blias of basar b'chalav. So you're not having hanah from the basar and the chalav. You're having hanah from the afer. And therefore, as of the shach, that itself is not a problem. One second, what?
Like, when we say
Sicha Kishtiyah. Why don't we say here, there's a problem of Sicha Kishtiyah? I don't know if I don't know. If it's sicha, then you have then the chumra of sicha kishkiyah should apply. I'm not sure something that you use to clean like that.
Is it derech bishul?
Oh no, but you have the same heter. We're going to talk about this. This is what Dr. Hamawi asked. That it's the question here is that lechayr it's pogum. Efer is a davar apogim all the time. It says you put an efer to be pogim in. So the Mati Yonason asked this kasha. The Mati Yonason that begins oy kosav that klisha is in by mayal achfifa sarayish. Now every time we have a kasha, we have a we feel like saying, okay, that's why it's only a chumra ba'alma. You know, like maybe that's why it's talk only a chumra ba'alma. But I don't know. He is the kasha. I cost of the klisha and zechav yisarosh. I say me efe shagabi akira hiksha tzemat tzedek. Hakaimel and efe kira paygain. What's going on here? Efe kira is paygain. So what's the problem with this efe kira? And even the blias, everything is pogum. So skip two lines down to v'yesh loimer. He brings in a tesis. The tesis is not to get to us right now. V'yesh loimer. Okay, if you have the regular prints for the copies, it's the next to the last word on the line, 6 lines on the bottom. V'yesh loimer, dinei Rambam kosav, he says here, chiddush atzum, Rambam kosav tam noisim lefgam mutter. What's the reason that b'chol ha-Torah kula is a heter of noisim tam lefgam? Hanu mushum shehu shaloi kiderech hana'asan. The Rambam sheet is because shaloi kiderech hana'a. The other Rishon, the Rosh says, it's because it's ain't a roi lager. But he, the Rambam says, because shalai kederach hanah, u'babasa b'chalav, esvir alai shalai kederach hanah, nami chayiv. And b'babasa b'chalav, shalai kederach hanah is also chayiv, he's a b'sachem da'chavav, ken yatzalanu din chadosh, l'shita sa Rambam. He himself calls it a din chadosh, like the Rambam shita, im nivla b'kedera tam basa rai chalav, v'hu lifgam mutter. If basa b'chalav, tam basa b'chalav is b'ilaya, and it's lifgam, it's mutter, what's the place? So if the basar is pogum and then milk goes into it, there's no basar b'chalav. Mashen can kvar nesar akadera ide bishul basar b'chalav. Avshu ena ben yaymei v'u nifkam. Nami yasa kivin the kvar nasa nevela b'basa b'cholav afshin nifka matamach shav afilo achi yasa the b'schav shekederach nasa nami yasa. So he's saying that if you have real b'basa b'cholav absorbed in the keli ain't a ben yaimai. Like the Rambam at least is awesome in that Torah. There's no heter of ain't a ben yaimai. And with that he goes on to answer with the kashering of the kli midyan. But this is a chiddush atzum. It's only in the I don't mean only the Rambam, but it's not the other rishayim. It's in the Rambam shita that over. A pogum is mutter ashalai kederach hanah. So he says, "Memelo, that's the reason for this chumra." Now, if b'basa b'chalav, we're machmir even on a davar pogum.
We learned that shalok derech bishul is mutter b'hanah. Like you put the milk, not derech bishul to cook bliya with milk. So it's not derech bishul. So
yeah, but nevertheless, the Chavis Das as if Aleph said that there's an iser b'basa b'chalav derech even through bliyas. I mentioned then that it's strange. It's not shalai kederach bishul, but the Maaseh of the Chavis Das and Prima Gadol both said that even bli is sabas b'chalav derayis. That's a problem. The efer itself is burnt. If you burn basar, there's nothing left. But the problem is that onto that efer spritzes milk. And that milk now, the bli is, which is not burnt. Yeah. Without him, why would this be a chumra ba'alma? I suppose the reason it's a chumra b'yalma is because it's not borrowed that there was ever basar and there was ever chalav in the same efer, and not also not borrowed that there was more than a 60th of what was there. So we're being sort of masik isura. So that's a chiddush to be masik isura. The Berhetev also is a kasha, and Berhetev yudches. The Maramakim is a little off, but in the parentheses, kasha loy ladas ramar. See in Berhetev yudches, the parentheses is his own comment. Yudches. He has a kasha on this Ramah. Sha'isa lachta is tachas kederes soivik echavim. Last week we learned this first chumra. You're not allowed to raise the flame under a guy's pot. Lefisha mevashlam pama basa pama mechalav. because the pot has bliyus of basa b'chalav, and you're going to be over on bishul basa b'chalav. If kein heyach matel lachatchila lasis mayim eifra gabe kira lachafifa sarash. So even using it for shampoo, takin is no issue of eating basa b'chalav. But there's a problem in cooking up the shampoo, because you're saying now the pot has bliyus of basa b'chalav, or the eifra has bliyus of basa b'chalav. This chumra should have been even a chumra in the cooking, not only a chumra in the blius in the pot. It's a chumra in the cooking itself, because the cooking itself is a cooking of basa b'chalav. So this is something of a problem with this chumra sarama, that this chumra should extend even to the cooking of the shampoo water. I don't know. Maybe.
Why
So why is skipping to use the pot later, even using the shampoo, which Rama approves of? What? The question is, what about today's stove tops? Well, ovens generally we don't use for meat and milk. But most
if it's covered,
we assume it's not going to spritz. Now, as if we use it, the flesh of the oven, we put in milk items, we assume that it's not spritzing. But you... What? Well, you should... If you have a flesh of the oven, you could milk it, so it should be covered well that it doesn't.
Okay.
But your question is good, certainly about a stovetop where it spritzes. Today, you know... When we were boys, everyone had one sink, and everyone started having two sinks. So now the chassidim yeshiva think it's halacha, you have to have two sinks. And now it's starting to change, people have two stoves. So, you know, by the next generation, everyone will think you have to have two stoves.
Two kitchens.
Two kitchens, yes. But the only good side of the economic correction is that these things are going to stop, I think. At least they'll accelerate at a slower pace. The problem is the men are aware that there's an economic correction. Not all the women are aware of it. The what about the stovetops? So you have a spritz of milk and a spritz of meat. So that you're asking has to do with the fourth chumra, which is very similar to the third. Back to the Ramah. The fourth chumra he brings here. Lachain yes leish less or gamke. See, the fourth chumra is lachain. It's a connected chumra. Yes, as a gamke lishtamish menakedeiros shal tanurim shebebeis achayrif. Okay, a tanur shebeis achayrif was a oven that was like a pot belly oven. It was an oven that was made to create steam for the home. So there was an oven in the corner of the kitchen, and it created steam like our boilers. Right, it was a boiler to create heat for the house, and the Mishnah Berurah mentions that they used to have they used to put little containers of water there to heat up the water for coffee. Also, the Mishnah Berurah I think says that since a guy on Shabbos is allowed to turn on the boiler, so a guy's allowed to. He says before Shabbos you're allowed to put water. A kettle of water on the stove, on the boiler, and when the guy turns it on, he's turning it on for steam. He's a davar shena miskaven, he's heating up the water for drinking also, and it's not a problem. Anyway, that's a tanuris beis achayrif. See, he says in the tanur beis achayrif there's water. And he's not talking about the kettle; he's talking about water, which typically that water is part of the boiler. It's part of what you're cooking. Now, what happens if you want to take some of that water out? To take from the kederos, from these parts of water, because when you put the kettles or whatever you put on it to heat, it spritzes onto this boiler and onto the kelim that are part of the boiler. So you have to try to picture. It's really the equivalent of our stovetops. What he's saying is, you have this stove. Now, picture our stovetops don't have any hot water in the stove itself, but there it was used as a boiler. So you had a container of water inside inside this, the belly of this oven that was heating up steam for the house. And on top, people put kelim to cook from the same heat. The water would spritz from those kelim, sometimes basa, sometimes chalav, onto the boiler. And therefore, the Ramah says, don't use the water in the boiler itself, because that boiler was beleya from spritzes of basa b'chalav. Now, from the container itself, the kettle or the pot, it's not beleya. We have an important rule that ain bliya yaitza maklila kli b'lay raitiv. That a bliya does not go from one keli to another if there's no liquid between them. So even if someone's cooking milachiks and puts a milachik pot with plain milk in it on top of a counter, on top of a stove tap, it doesn't make the counter milachik. Because a bliya doesn't go from one pot to another pot, from one keli to another without raitiv. However, we're worried about the spritzing. That sometimes milk spritz and sometimes meat is going to spritz. And because of that, the stovetop is aser. And since in their case, the stovetop was also a keli underneath that held hot water, therefore you had a problem with that hot water is by leia basa b'chalav. That's the issue of this chumra. It says, b'dievet ein lachish b'chal zeh, aflechat chilein b'zeh l'chumra b'yalma, v'amek alay hifzit. In other words, let's say on our stove tops. What? All four chumris. All four chumris. He says, "B'di'evad ein lachish b'chol zeh." V'af lechatchila ein b'zeh lechumris bi'alma. He says that it's not. Now, the stove top itself. Now, on the stove, you have the burners, the black grates, usually black, on which the pot sits, and the area under it. That's no problem because there it's very hot and it kashes itself. Shachof Aleph mentions, it's self kashering, and that's true about the black grates that we have or that area. The issue is sometimes you have a couple of burners and a stove top in between. That stove top over time certainly is going to be belaya from different spritzing of basar and spritzing of chalav, and over time it has belias of both. The shaila is, what happens if you're taking a latke out of the frying pan and you drop it and it falls onto that stove top, it falls onto that area, never falls onto the floor. There's whatever else is the issue. There's no cashless issue. Then it depends if your wife is watching or not. But if it falls on the stovetop, you may have blias of basar and blias of chalav in that keli. Now, what would be the halacha stama?
Is that called rotev? Oil is called rotev?
Well, only mekli lekli v'lei rotev. Oichel is meleya. And here the oichel itself is falling on it. So stam kelim is eina b'nei yayman. B'dievet will be mutter. Because even though it may have blias of basa, blias of chalav, but it's not likely that within 24 hours it has both, or maybe even has one. And therefore, there's no problem b'dievet. We have our old kula of stam kelim eina b'nei yayman. And therefore, it's something which is mutter. Yeah.
They have today's stove tops.
The glass tops. So first of all, I'll tell you ahead of time, don't buy the glass top stoves, because you're going to do what many people do Erev Pesach, run from Rav to Rav to find out how to kasher it. There's no good way to kasher that, to use it for Pesach. You bought it already?
No,
okay, that's good. So I'm just telling you advice. You want people who are told... There are people who are told to cover with aluminum foil. If you go with aluminum foil, it's no problem. The problem is when you cover with aluminum foil, the glass gets little cracks in it. It doesn't break into pieces, but it gets hairline cracks from the heat, and that's not what people want. And therefore, it's a problem. If somebody has it, you go out and you buy an electric burner. You plug an electric burner and use it for Pesach. And don't use the stove.
But
so you're asking outside the Chumra Basa B'chol. So that glass tap, would really be the same thing as this. And Mikra Din Stama Tzeinu B'nei Yayman. And I guess it'll be a chumrah to not use hot food that fell on such a surface. That would be this chumrah sarama.
Doesn't like the grates, it always the shell.
Because it doesn't get hot enough. The grates get super hot.
Yeah.
The stove in between gets hot, but it doesn't get that hot. So so that's a problem. Oh, you mean the round where the fire comes out of?
So the ceramic are electric.
Oh, they're electric underneath.
They're not fires.
Okay, so the, I mean they themselves are glow, then they're self. Yeah, but the glass is the problem. Yeah. We don't kasha. The Ramah says that we don't. I mean, it's not kasha glass. In Hilchas Pesach, the Ramah says we don't kasha glass. The tumul everywhere else is whether that chumrah is only by Pesach. Called everywhere, the Prima Gadim says that that the Ramah only brings the chumrah by basa mechala, only by chametz. So shari surim, you could kasha. Basa mechala. If you wanted to be samach on the Prima Gadim, you could. You could. I mean, you'll wait anyway until it's Erev Yoma. You're not going to put. You have to remember, if to put a keli on a keli is mutter because anybody has to be clearly blyrited. So you only worry if accidentally a food falls on it. So usually then it'll be Erev Yoma. Stomach.
You don't have a choice.
Okay.
They don't have gears running into the community. Wow.
You mean all electric burners now are only sealed burners? They're no open burners. There are open burners. Okay, let's move on to Siv Zayin. I'd like to try to cover the remaining Sifim, which are basically Dinim Abasa B'cholav that do not come up that much. For example, Siv Zayin. Hamavashel Shalil. What's a Shalil? It's an embryo. There's a Shilia and a Shalil. One is the sac and one is the embryo. If you like me, you used to always get mixed up which is which. And just remember the expression, Ein Shilya B'lai Vlad. Chazal have an expression, Ein Shilya B'lai Vlad. If a woman gives out the sack, it must have been a Vlad. So Shilya is the sack, and Shlil is the embryo, is the... You can remember Ein Shlil B'lai Vlad, right? Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, then just remember the Taich. Hamavashel Shlil B'cholav Chayiv. If somebody were to cook such an embryo in Cholov, that is a din of Vasar.
What's the Havamina?
I'm not sure what the Havamina is. The question, it's coming la fuke the Shilya. The Shilya was saying is not Vasar. It's a Vashal Vasar b'Cholov. But the Vashal Shilya, which is tremendous Chiddush, the Shilya, it's really also flesh. It's human flesh. But still, I'm a Vashal Shilya. Or v'gidim v'atzamais, or skin, gidim v'atzamais, v'ikre karnayim v'talpayim arachim, potter. All of these things don't have a din of basar for basar b'chalav, and they're potter. Potter is the shastas of chafez, yisurim yiyika, because they're very similar to basar. V'chein ha'echlam potter. So these things are not deraisa. I guess the one that's negat to us would be the atzamais. If somebody found a bone in milk. I will talk about that in a second. If someone found meat, milk, and there was a bone in it, so that bone in it, even if it's a bone of an animal, is only basar b'chalav d'rabbanan, and therefore it would be mutar b'hanah. Shachof Bey says isura mi'aika. The question was asked if it's even bishul. Well, the way the shach is marked by us, it's going on the potter of Bishul. It's potter v'chein ha'echlam. So it seems to be going on both, and it seems to be a diak and potter. Now, even though basar b'chalav d'rabbanan is usually mutar b'bishul, but things that are more similar to basar, they were geyser. Now, shach p'sei tshuva brings, now it's a double pashut that marrow of a bone has taste, and the marrow has a din of basar. So Pischei Tshuva Tezvav brings, I shall Tshuva Shabsai Sefer Mechaz Yaakov, Simit Tezvav.
This is a question of taste? Or
so both reasons are brought in there. That's in the Batei HaShulchan, because no one here brings a reason. He brings both reasons. It's not Basar, and it's not Nais and Tam. So he brings in Tezvav, Ayim B'shal Tshuva Shabsai Sefer Mechaz Yaakov, B'tashal Shacholav, Shnimsa B'saychei Etzem Cholu. They found a bone that was hollow. Maybe originally it had marrow. The nami stecha tafshul v'leka samach b'tafshul neged osiachol shavetzem. Also, the suffix is a deraisa l'chumra. So he answered because there's a suffix if there was marrow, a suffix deraisa l'chumra. Rabbi Yisachem Yehuda b'tshuva shalai simitzai daz hitir. Why should we say that it was maich? Is there really any bone that has no maich in it? Any hollow bone that has no maich? I think there's such a thing. But I think it means that maybe they had taken the maich out, and now the bone fell in. So he says, Lai masakin ani sur. So this is the tumul, if you find a bone in cooking milk, and you're not sure if there was marrow.
The bones that are not hollow,
that's true, but he's talking about he found a halibut. Vayim prima godim shetam aleihem. Prima godim tumul. He asks, what are they talking about? Harei kam ashma datzamei sakoshim b'loy mayach asurim gam kemi drabanim. What are they tumbling? There was marrow. There was no marrow, but the datzamei itself asur, because datzamei asim drabanim here. So it must be the case was maybe it was a safik into a shishim connected datzamei themselves, but datzamei asur. So this is the halacha here. What would be the din?
Didn't Rosh Hashanah Zalman say that chicken bones and chicken marrow bones are not only edible, but delicious?
He was talking about the bones, not the marrow. Okay?
That
could be. But the discussion was about bishul on a chalent that has bones in it. But the marrow's cooked, the bones aren't cooked. What I just was supik here is the following. When we say that Chazal made a gzeira derabanan by Basa B'cholov on or, does that mean, what would be the din? We have things that are made out of leather. Shoes. Sometimes people have a wallet that's made out of genuine leather. Or a baseball glove. If that baseball glove touched cooking milk. Now, a baseball glove, I assume, has no taste. I think we all agree it's dried out. It has zero taste. I mean, I tell you, it won't answer. Is that included in this Issa Drabbanon of Or? That if someone, somehow, a baseball glove, a wallet, any type of leather, touch hot milk, or somebody is sitting eating a cheese blintz on his couch, and he has a pure leather couch from Jennifer, and it fell onto the leather. That's Or. Or leather gloves. Somebody has leather gloves. He's holding a hot dover gush, a milk like a dover gush. Is that included in this Issa Drabbanon of oyer, which is even oyer that's dried out? That's the way he brings. I don't know it for sure, but that's the way he brings the Bavi Ashulchan. So oyer has no taste, and this exerid rabbanon. What? There's no shchitas nevela too.
Yeah. No, it's a good question, because if you're eating and you have something which has contact with something, and then your belt or something, somehow,
a belt,
and
yeah.
glove. And then later on, that was fleishik, and later on you're eating and you're not neat again, and you dick it.
Do it again. Yeah.
If your wife drives you crazy, so you just scraped up the plate. I said, what are you talking about? She said, your belt touched the fleishik, now your belt touched the milchik.
Well, that's true. If the same thing touches fleishik and milchik, you're going to have a problem. No difference a spoon. I'm talking about the issue of the leather itself.
The belt.
I'll tell you where Feivel writes. So Feivel, he doesn't mention these examples, but he writes the following. He's quoting, I don't remember who. He says that this Isser, the Isser Drabbanon, is on the Or, the Gidim and the Atzamas. He says that the Isser is on the Or, Gidim and Atzamas, not on the milk, because the milk didn't get any bleus. The Isser Drabbanon, he says, is only on the Or, Gidim and Atzamas that are Mekabel Tam from the milk. So we have this Chumra, Terasa, Aspasa, Bechalov. But the milk itself has no, if you can separate it, has no bleus from the argid of Atzamais, and therefore the milk itself is mutter, which would answer the Prima Godim's Kasha on the Reis Lachem Yehuda on them, because they're not talking about eating the bone, they're talking about eating the milk. So this is the way he explains it. Again, I didn't learn the Makairis of this, but Shulchan Aruch itself, it's unclear. He says, Chein ha'ich lam potter, which means it's some sort of iser, but okay.
But if milk
Yeah, but it didn't bring any taste with it. That's the thing. If it doesn't bring any taste, then it's not an issue. What? Shlomi, I think you just carry it. Okay, it didn't become a slav deraisa. The Rabbanan, he's saying it has no taste, so therefore it doesn't ask. Okay, let's see Sif Ches. Yesh Misha Aymer Nesiube Chalba. Okay, we started discussing this in Sif Vav. We're going to discuss it here in Sif Ches. Yeah, we're going to do one more little show and tell. Last week, we talked about Mechalav, and I said in Sif Ches, we're going to get to it again. What is Mechalav? So the Aleph Beis is the following. There's a... Milk has many components. The main components of milk are curds and whey, curds or casein and whey, and butter and butter fat, which is also part of it. Now, the last week we were discussing. Hold on, just give me a cup. Last week we were talking about whey. You have to hang. It's not going to drip that much more, unless I scrape it.
I hope you're not hanging the
go back. No. It's very wet. No, it absorbed some of the whey. Okay. Well, thank you, Shlomo. All right. I'll tell you what I just wanted to do, just for show purposes. Last week there was a disagreement if whey should be us or else merzi ke chalav. So there's a way to make whey. There are many ways to make whey. I have whey all over my fingers now. But whey, in order to make whey, what you have to do is take milk, put in cultures, and separate the curds from the whey. Okay? Now, I don't have any cultures at home, but I do have cultures, because all yogurt is cultured milk. If you take yogurt and you put some cheesecloth, it's not real cheesecloth, and you hang it long enough, the whey is going to drip out, and you're going to be left with cream cheese. What you're going to be left with, even though it's interesting, I looked at it before, even though plain yogurt is quite sour, the cream cheese you get from it tastes like real cream cheese, like regular cream cheese that you have. And this is the whey. Now, unfortunately, this cloth absorbed some of the whey. There's a little bit. There's enough for you to see. Maybe you should take a cup. Squeeze it out a little. But
clear.
It's very, very clear. And the truth is, it's the first time I ever tried doing it. What happens, I'm sure, when we open it, there's some... Yeah. And this is how whey looks. Okay, nothing like cholov. We were talking last week whether to make a gezeira out of Maris Ayin, very little whey. Don't drink it until everyone gets a chance to see it. And this is the cream cheese, is right here. And it's exactly like cream cheese. I had tasted some of it before. And it's a cheaper way to get cream cheese. It's called Israel, yeah. I'm sorry. The thing is that when we hear about all these things, see, this is yogurt because I don't know, hang it long enough. The cream cheese is here.
Ah.
Does that look like cream cheese?
Yes.
It tastes like cream cheese too if you're brave enough to taste it. But if you look at this cloth, you can see how I didn't put anything else here. The half of it, it was tilted when I hung it. I suspended it, and it was tilted so that one side, the whey drained out, and one side, it didn't drain out totally. So you'll see on the same cloth, you can see very clearly it's cream cheese. You look around the container here. It's exactly the cream cheese. I don't know how they whipped it.
Where are the bagels?
So the point I want to make, I guess, is that what we hear about all the time, about milk and all the components, it's real. It's not like a laboratory thing. It's something that they really did. And I was hoping to get more whey out of it. I hung it up at 6, and now it's 8:45. I thought in 3 hours we'd get more. But... maybe I want some yogurt. So this you can just pass around. I guess it just serve to demonstrate. I'd like to explain the halachas. One second. If you want to try it at home?
Milk and yogurt?
No, plain yogurt. You have to be plain yogurt. If it has other ingredients, that can separate as well. And yogurt. I think it's better cream cheese than the cream cheese they sell. It's very good. Okay, anyway, I was in the... I'm sorry I didn't have more of it that I could show you. Well, the glove I was out to practice beforehand, and this... The truth is, I never buy yogurt. I was going to take two, practice one at home, and then do it here. But at $20 a container of yogurt, I wasn't going to buy two, so I just bought one.
The experiment,
did
you use cold stuff?
No.
I'll tell you the truth. If you want to try it, you have to use plain yogurt. Other ones have other ingredients. I don't know if it separates the same. But all milk contains in it really many things. Milk is a remarkable thing. It has all the things a person needs to live. The whey and the curds are the main part. And of course, there's the buttermilk, in the, which is also a component. And there are other minerals in milk.
To bring in whole milk, now, do the whole process.
We can bring in milk and start churning it. The truth is, you can make butter. You don't need a churner. You just need people willing to shake for an hour or a couple hours in a row. You can get them. But my point, that we have to understand, we're talking about a machlekes rishayim. It's a yesh rishayim. This is going to be a machlekes rishayim. When you separate, as I did, the whey from the cheese. Now, I got cream cheese, not hard cheese, because I wasn't willing to let it age. And no cultures that make hard cheese were put in. But when you separate these two, so you get on one side the cheese and one side the whey. The whey is called mechalav. And it's yubei dechalva. Most whey today is not gotten from yogurt. Most whey comes from hard cheese. When they make hard cheese, it's interesting. It's America. Cheeses are made in one industry, and milk and butter is another industry. So milk and butter is made in New Jersey, and cheeses are made in Wisconsin. Now, I don't understand the lumdis. It's the same cows that give the milk, but that's just the facts, the way it is. The cheese in America, Ruba de Ruba, is made in Wisconsin. The mashkichim stay in Milwaukee, which is not far from the places where it's made. The whey is a byproduct of the cheese. When you make cheese, the component, the curd component of the milk coagulates, it becomes hard, and the cheese component, the whey stands out. That's why they use a cheesecloth to separate the cheese from the whey, and they're left with the whey. Now that whey is mechalav, and that mechalav is belishum shai lemilchik. There's no question lemaisa that it's milchik. The question is that milchik is a deraisa dika milchik or a derabanan dika milchik. That's the issue with whey. The Gemara refers to something, some type of a byproduct of milk, of a mechalav, which is only a derabanan. There's a machlekes rishayim what that is. According to one shita, mechalav is whey, and whey is only asa midrabanan. Zay bas b'chal drabanan. Again, we asa drabanan be enough kamina for spakers. It's a second shita. The as I told you, milk has three components. It has the curds, the whey, and then it has lactose, which is it has to do with the butterfat content, I believe. Lactose, which is also a lactose intolerant, that makes it hard for them to drink milk. The whey that we passed around has little molecules of lactose floating in it, so that people who are lactose intolerant can't drink whey. What's done is the whey itself is cooked to separate, and I don't know how to do it in shul here, I don't know how they do it exactly. They separate the whey protein from the lactose, so that they have a second separation. After the separation of the curds and whey, in the whey itself, there's a second separation. And the Lashon Chazal, the liquid, the whey, which remains after that, is called mei mechalav. That's called, in other words, to make a distinction in mechalav, which is the whey, there's mei mechalav, like I say, b'lashon Chazal. And that's what this sif, let's learn sif ches. Yesh Misha Himer, the Nisyube de Chalva, Pirish, Cholav Hamismatzes Mikifoin Hagvina. That's clearly whey. The milk that Mismatzes means it's the concentrate, it's the essence of the Kipoin Hagvina, of the cheesing, of the coagulation of the cheese. Einai Bechlal Mechalav Osim in Atayra. This shita says that whey is isidai raisa. Me'ela mechalav, the mechalav the Gemara refers to, hainu. Achar shoysin hagavina, after they make cheese, mevashlin hanesiube, they cook the whey, v'ha'oichal tzaf malmaila, and the lactose, which I believe is a fat, is tzaf malmaila, v'lo nishabai, lactose, what would it be called? A sugar, okay? So, and that's more solid. That would be the more solid part of this mixture. Of the way, of the... What? It's in a solution. All right, so I don't know how they burn it out. The lactose floats to the top. And what's left below is more watery than what I showed you. That's called mecholov. And that's what's awesome in the Rabbana. That's what we call the Lashon Chachamim. It's called Mei Mechalav. In order to make a distinction, the water from milk, and then the water from the water of milk. So people call it Mei Mechalav. The Gemara has the expression Mei Mechalav. And so that's a Machlaikis, which is the Rabbana.
So according to this, the Mei Mechalav is the way, right? The Mei Mechalav.
Mei Mechalav is the way protein. Mei Mechalav is the way.
The first part of the Machaber, the Yesh Misha Omer, is what?
That's way.
The cholav
hamismetzes mikapoyin hagvina is the way. You separate the curds and whey. That's the first separation. The second separation, which is later, is the what is he called? The oichal atzaf milmaila. Seems to be some type of a salsa. Maybe it's part of the butter fat. You think it's the whey protein that becomes a solid?
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. So what's left underneath, that's the lactose. I know that the second cooking is separation of lactose and whey protein.
It would contain
lactose and water. Okay, so then I stand corrected. And the part that flows to the top is the whey protein, and the liquid that remains on the bottom is the mei mechalav. Again, this is only a machlokes of a teres de rabbanan. It's not... And not such a big nafkamina l'aloch, it's only for sveikus. One of the main issues with whey in the industry today is the following shaila. If you get whey from a separation of cheese, what happens if that cheese wasn't kosher cheese? Does that make the whey treif? In other words, in order to have kosher whey, do you have to have the as a byproduct of kosher cheese, or even as a byproduct of non-kosher cheese? Now, what's true about the cheese is the Nisa Drabanan, that the Rabbanan were geyser on Gevina Sakum, that if a Jew doesn't make the Gevina, that it's aser. And that should be clear. Those who are mekel on Stam Cholov in America, on Stam Cholov, can't be mekel on Stam Gevina. There's no such kula. Even if you use, you're traveling, so you can buy milk in any store, you make on Stam Cholov, the Cholov Stam. But that's not true for Gevina Stam, because by Gevina, everyone agrees, there was a Gezerah, that Gevina that's made without the presence of a Jew is Aser. A Moshe's Kula has zero to do with it. Because there's not an issue of coming from a non-kosher animal. That's an issue of the Renner that was put in being kosher. When you have, let's say, Miller's and Ha'olam, you have two types of cheese. One's Chol Yisrael, one's not Chol Yisrael. The difference is the container truck of milk that came to the cheese factory. That's the only difference. In the cheese factory, the same exact supervision is done for Ha'olam and for Miller. There's no difference. And the OU is Machmir and the Chumrah of the Shach that the Jew has to actually put in the Renner. has to push the button in nowadays, however they put in the Reddit, has to put in some, not all of the starter culture to turn it into cheese. So whether it's OU or Chol of Yisrael, either way, when the making of the cheese, there's a Jew present, which is why the kosher cheese is more expensive. It's not like milk, where if you're not making a Chol of Yisrael, so you have no difference between the price of milk and milk. Cheese is not that way, because cheese always needs, not only needs a supervision, but it needs a constant supervision, because the Jew has to have a yad in, we're makbin on the chumrah that a Jew has to have a yad in putting in the rennet that causes it to become cheese. The issue of whey, what?
Is that just one person that's the extra person?
I'm not in the plant. I guess it depends how big the plant is. I have no idea. There are many types of rennet. Rennet originally came from the keva. Came from thing. Today they have microbial rennet, but we understand that it's a gzeirah d'rabbanan and it applies no matter what's used. I mean, what's used is always kosher. The Chazal also describe rennet habame asavim that came from herbs of some sort. But that's what you're supposed to use, and that's the gzeirah d'rabbanan. Now it's getting to the whey, yeah. So the shaila with the whey is whey, does whey have to come from kosher cheese? Or most whey in the industry does not come from kosher cheese. Do you have to have, now if you're making a Chol of Yisrael, avadi you have to have. But if you're going to be samech on the Chol of Stam, could you be samech on whey Stam? Well, it's a problem. It came together with cheese and the cheese was awesome. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva on the topic. And Rav Moshe is makel based on the following svara in part. It's a long tshuva and it's a little complicated. I think it's chelek gimel tshuva yud zayin. And I can tell you the basis of the heter, but I'm not doing justice to the whole heter. It's a long tshuva. And Rav Moshe says the following. He says, let's see. By butter, Chazal said that, we've spoken about this in the past, that there's no gezeirah of chemas akum, only cholov akum. Chazal will go is a cholov akum, forgetting about the United States. Let's talk about in Europe, where Chazal made the gezeirah. There were guys that a cholov akum is treif, literally. Treif in the Rabbanah. And yet they said that the chemas akum is mutter. You're allowed to buy butter from a guy because it's not normal because butter was only made from kosher milk and from the milk of kosher animals. And therefore they said that there weren't guys on chemas akum. Now, if you're going to go out and buy chemas akum, how did that chema come? It also was originally a component of Chol of Akum. Out of the cow, it came as milk. The guy took this milk, which is Chol of Akum, it's treif, and he churned it, and he made butter out of the Chol of Akum. And that chema, it says the Fesher Shulchan Aruch, chema sakum is mutter. So we see that Chazal were not geyser on when Chazal made a gzeira on Chol of Akum. The component of the cholov which can be removed does not become aser because it's a component of that milk. Rav Moshe says a similar idea by the gavina, that when you take the milk and you separate the gavina from the whey, it's the same thing as separating the butter from the milk. And therefore Rav Moshe says that on the whey, just like on the butter, there's no iser of the cholov akum, on the whey there's no iser of the gavina akum. That's because we understand our original takana to be a takana didn't include the components that can be separated. Well, that's why they didn't make the gzeira. No, but the point is this. The point is that the kashrus of the whey coming from a kosher animal is not the issue. For that was saimach, those who are saimach are saimach and stam chalav. The question is the gezeira gavina sakum. The gezeira, the gavina might have a treifus derabanan. Now, obviously, there's a shav treifus deraisa, so we're not going to be makel. But with the shav treifus derabanan, is the way mutter. Rav Moshe is saying that the gezeira was made on the gavina and not what it's separated from. Similar to the gezeira of chema.
Was he probably can't get away from an unkosher animal.
I don't say that. I don't know.
Cheese.
I don't know. That's not Rav Moshe writes. That's how Ramash is writing. He's writing this idea that it's not Osrat's beliefs. Right, the Gzeret Rabbanon of Kavina. Not the Kavina was not made with Nakasher. It was made in a way that's Issa Rabbanon. Okay. Now, everything, it's true. You can't compare. I'm like I said when I started, I'm explaining it very loosely. And Ramosha goes into Bakiris, which I'm not familiar enough to go through quickly. But this is the basis of his Hatter. The Hatter is not because Chema so to Gavina. It's just similar to the by Chema, he says the same thing is true by Gavina. Now, you still have the Chayim HaSal Stam, yeah. If you don't have Kol Yisrael way, they're still going to have a problem. Now, okay. The issue that is an issue in the Machlokes in the Paiskim today is on some cheeses are heated up. I don't know exactly the science of it, but they're cooked up. And the question is, if this cooler that Ramosha said applies even when it's cooked, or only when it's cold, or even when it's cooked. Obviously, if you cook it, you're more likely to get the whey to drip out of it. Anything turns to liquid more quickly when it's cooked. So if it's heated, I've read that mozzarella cheese is heated to get it a stretchy texture. And the whey that comes from that is heated with the cheese. So that is a disagreement among the Paiskim. Ramosh, I believe, is makel there as well. The OU policy is to be makel up to 120 degrees. The machmir, if it's 120 degrees or more, and makel under 120 degrees. In other words, there's a machlaikis, what's yatzeh ledes by, which we discussed many times. A great disparity in the sheet is anywhere from 110 to 140. The OU is makel, they have the Kabbalah from Reb Aaron that 120 degrees is yatzeh ledes. So if it's heated up to 120 degrees, they use the whey. Because the saimech, a tziruf, it's a shaylif, it asers, and even if it asers, it may not be yatzeh ledes by. If it's over 120 degrees, then they're chayshish and machmirim, and they don't use the whey that's made from those types of cheese, like mozzarella cheese, which is heated higher. The whey of mozzarella cheese, the OU doesn't give a hechsher to, because of the chashash is belaya. What? No, all the ingredients are kosher. But we're talking where there's not a question there. For ingredients, the Yaitzev Nichlis is good. But a Jew was not there when the cheese was made. And therefore, it has dinner Gvinas Akum, which is true in many plants, most plants in America. In those plants, the whey byproduct could still be given an OU just with the Yaitzev Nichlis, without a Gvinas Yisrael stempel. So why shouldn't it ask her the way? And that's the question, why shouldn't ask her the way? Where Moshe has this idea that if it's components of the same thing, then it doesn't ask her. And I'm not adequately explaining it. But that's Lamaisa, that is Ramosha's Kula. And again, depending on the temperature, that's the policy today. Okay, let's see. All right, so if Tess... Siftes Yud and Yud Aleph talk about Cholav Animtza Bekeva. When you shecht an animal, and the animal had milk before it was shechted, it had breakfast, and it maybe suckled milk from its mother, and then you shecht the animal, and you open the stomach, and you find milk in the stomach. You have two shailas regarding that milk. One, is it milachik? And two, is it fleishik? You understand that? You have the same thing? You have a shayla of its milchik, a shayla of its fleishik? The same one. So it could be milchik, because it is milchik. It came from a cow. It could be fleishik, because it's kavush in the keva. So maybe, you know, it's inside the animal. So Sif Tes says that it's not milchik. And Sif Yud says that it's not fleishik. Essentially, it says a little more than that. Let one Sif Tes, one Sif Yud next week. Cholav anipsa bekeva, einai cholav. There's a peladikadin. This is literally milk. You take it to a lab, it's mamish milk. But it's found in the stomach of the cow, einai cholav. Umutta levashel by basar, afilu bitzol shava. And you're allowed to cook meat, afilu bitzol shava, even if it's liquidy. The Yesh Misha Eiser V'Cheinai, again, there goes our dream of, right? Yesh Misha Eiser V'Cheinai. Now, the Yesh Misha Eiser, though, is Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. If this Yesh Misha Eiser asks it outright, which is what Rashi says, whether it's liquidy or Karush, or if the Yesh Misha Eiser Tosfos says, is only B'tzol. So from the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch, it's not clear. It says Yesh Misha Eiser. Again, it doesn't say if both are rasa, but but the Taz Zayin says, "Pirish b'tzolul dafka hu l'das Rabbeinu Tam." That's like Taisa Shita that only tzolul is also v'Rashi oisra afilu karush, v'loy svira like pirsha b'yamul pasuk ramak Rabbeinu Tam, and guess who's machmir like Rashi? Mashal perak abasa pasuk Rashi. Kula gadoy lahati b'karish. Mi idea mashiach krisha esha filosvarase dafka mukarish v'en belchul chaskalov v'ikar karash. The shaila is the following. There's a concept of pirsha b'yalma, that when an animal digests something, it turns into garbage. At some point, it becomes waste, right? It becomes a waste product in the body. At what point is a pirsha b'yalma? So the first shita holds that, as the Rif and the Rambam hold, that as soon as it gets into the stomach, it's already pirsha b'yalma, it's not milk. According to Rif and Rambam, you could probably have cooked meat in this type of milk, and you'd get, I imagine, sure, it will be the taste of milk and meat. And according to Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, there is an iser. Either Rashi holds it's totally iser, Rabbeinu Tam holds no. There's a heter pirsha, but not when it's still it looks like the milk that it swallows, it's the liquidy. It starts to be karush, it starts to get gelled, then that's when the heter applies. So kaponim, this is the heter that it does not have a din of milk. The next sif has a heter that it doesn't have a din of basar. We're going to learn the next sif quickly, because it's not, as I said, sonageya, but it's a long sif. I don't want to rush through, so we'll learn it quickly next week. So if you're here, I'll finish the simin. We'll talk still about the Ar HaKeva, and then it's a shamamu.